You can be seated, and please turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 5:1. And last week we did Christmas Day 2022, the chronology of the birth of Jesus, and all the we covered some of the prophecies that were happening, being fulfilled in the birth and up to a month later in Jesus' life, and realizing all these miraculous things that God was doing in fulfilling his prophecies of the first coming of the Messiah should have caused all the Jews, and actually the Gentiles as well, to have worshipped Jesus instead of saying, as we learned in our communion time, instead of saying, crucify him. But they didn't, because they didn't truly pay attention to the prophecies of their day. They were wanting their own agenda. And wouldn't it be applicable for us to just want nothing but the Creator's agenda? And so there's a lot of agendas that people have today. The godless globalist elites today have an agenda to create a global government, as we're going to see in a minute. And that's their agenda. And they don't even care if us crazy Christians say that what they're doing is going to fulfill prophecies of Daniel and everything else. They just don't care. They just keep going. It's their agenda. They think they're going to beat God. They think they're going to destroy us. They're going to set up their utopia. That's what they think. But they're going to be wrong, and they should have learned what happened with the people that were wanting to crucify Jesus. They were wrong. But we, as God's people, we should sit there, God, no agenda but you. And if we accurately, and the importance is accurately, and I'm going to do my best job, doesn't mean what I'm saying is going to be 100%, because prophetic word is difficult, but I'm going to do my best job to say, you know, I think we're close. We're close to a time that's going to be pivotal in the timeline of God's dealing with man in the last days. And so, New Year's Day today, 2023, we usually do a prophecy update, and the prophetic scriptures, as I'm going to emphasize here, should cause all of us to realize that we're in the season. God rebuked the people of his day, Jesus, because you can be farmers and say, oh, it's going to be a rainy today, you know, the clouds and the sky is telling me that I need to do this and that. But you don't understand the season of the coming, of my coming. You're not paying attention. I take those rebukes from Jesus and later on the two people who rode to Emmaus to make me want to emphasize, I don't want to be rebuked. I want to see the season that we're living in. And I think all of you probably do too. So we're supposed to comfort each other with these facts. And so 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 starts right after chapter 4 talked about the rapture. There's going to be a time, whether people believe it's too fantastic or delusional or, you know, doesn't matter. God is going to translate his true believers off of this planet. The people that truly trust in him as their Savior, we're going to be taken off before the wrath of God comes on this earth. And then, so the next chapter, chapter 5, says, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say, and this is, you know, I have a bullet, you know, highlighted in your notes for a reason. Who is the coming of Jesus a thief to? They. Who are they? The ones that are going to say peace and safety. Then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. And that's really, really important. People say, well, you know, we just can't know. No, God says we can know. He's going to say in the following verses, we can know. But the people that aren't paying attention, how many is that? Almost everybody you run into every day. If you start to tell somebody, hey, let me tell you about the second coming of Jesus. No, actually, I don't talk to nuts cases. I would rather talk to normal people, and so no, I don't want to talk to you. I mean, that's the attitude of the world out there. They're a they. That's not your preferred pronoun. You don't want to be a they. And so who are they? They, the globalists, the World Economic Forum, United Nations, have been working together to put together what they are going to advertise when they come out fully. They're going to advertise, this plan that we have is to bring world peace. We might have to kill a few billion people to get there. But when it's there, we're going to bring world peace. We're going to have eternal survivability of the planet. And we're going to have all this, you know, we're going to have complete central control over everybody that's living. We're going to decide who gets to have children, who doesn't get to have children, how many children, how many people live on the planet. All that stuff is their plan. And they're going to say this is going to bring peace and safety. And Jesus says, when they say that, then it's going to be really bad. And it goes on to say, but you, that is a preferred pronoun for everybody here, I hope, but you, brethren, meaning believers in Jesus, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night or darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. How can you be in the light? How can you be a you and us? By reading the Word of God, studying the prophetic Word. 30% of the Bible when it was written was prophetic. That's a major chunk of the Bible. And there's still a lot of it that's not fulfilled that we're supposed to know so that we're not in the darkness. And I like to, you know, the thought came to my mind, for those of you that have followed the lead up to the Holocaust, when the Germans invaded Poland, there was a lot of Jews that lived in Warsaw, in the Warsaw area. But there was a lot of natural, ethnic Polish people that lived in Warsaw as well. And so when the Germans came in, they didn't come in and just enslave them and destroy them and round them up all at once. They used some thinking. And so they started building a fence. In April of 1940, they started building a fence around the Warsaw. And while they're building it, they're saying, you know what, you Jews, we'll bring Jews from the suburbs into your Warsaw ghetto. We're going to bring them in. We're going to take the ethnic Polish people and we'll get them out of your way. So now it's just Jews that live in there. And every day they're watching the fence, the brick fence, the razor wire, etc., being put all around Warsaw. And when they had it all around, then they said, oh, guess what? You're now enslaved. And we're sending you by the hundreds of thousands to the death camps. And eliminating you. And we don't know it yet. But the globalists, under the inspiration of Satan, as God is removing his protection from this world because the world has rejected him and his son Jesus, and they're going after everything of evil and wickedness in the world today, he's pulling away, and Satan is inspiring this World Economic Forum and globalist agenda. They're building the fence. The bricks are going up. The bulb wire is going up. And we don't really know what's going on yet because they haven't finished the fence. But when they finish the fence, they're going to tell the people inside. Now, the wise Jews who would have understood, you know, they keep telling that they want to get rid of all the Jews in the world. Oh, they wouldn't do that. We're the doctors. We're the lawyers. We're their musicians. They wouldn't do that to us. No, they actually are saying this is what they're going to do. And so the ones that paid attention, they got out of Warsaw. They got out of Eastern Europe. They got wherever they left their houses and everything, and just, we've got to get out of here. They lived. But you know what? For us, how big is the fence? Which country is it around? The whole world. There is no getting out. And I want to emphasize this in two ways. Getting out is not Idaho. It's not Florida. It's not any of the other red states. This thing is global, and there is going to be no stopping. You might have a little reprieve for a short period of time, but this is a global lockdown. But we know how to get out. How do we get out? Jesus takes us away. And what do we want to tell everybody in the ghetto that the fence is being built around? You can get out too. It's only through faith in Jesus Christ. And whether you die in it anyway, you're still getting out. Even if you're even in the early days of setting up the global government, we end up being killed somehow. We still get out because our faith in Jesus gives us eternal life. And that's what we have to emphasize to the people that are around us in 2023. So, and today we're watching the technological, financial walls being built around the global ghetto. In fact, Yuval Noah Harari, the spiritual guru of the World Economic Forum and the world, says that by B times C times D equals A, and he means biological knowledge times computing power times data is giving us the ability to hack humans, and he means to control the whole world. That's what he's talking about. We are now living in a technological age, where with our computing power and our surveillance powers, our biological knowledge, and the databasing capabilities, that we can truly hack humans and determine where they're going. He actually says there is no more free will because your free will is going to be trumped by our data surveillance capability. Because if they have a way technologically to say, oh, really, you want to maintain your own freedom? Well, we'll delete your bank accounts. And so what does that do to you? Makes you die. And so people, okay. You know, that's hacking human beings. But if you say, I don't care because my life is hidden in Jesus. And if I die, I die. In this world, I'm going to live for everlasting life. Then they can't get you. But they're going to be able to control everybody that fears for their life. 1 Thessalonians 5:7, for those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk are drunk at night. Nobody's a drunkard here, right? I mean, you're not sucking down suds and just wasting your time, getting high on, you know, coming back from work, I deserve a break today, give me a joint, and stuff like that, because you're living in darkness. It is not time to be living in darkness. It is time to get serious. Pick up your Bible instead of a joint. You know, pick up your Bible instead of, you know, some kind of alcoholic beverages or anything else that just make you messed up. Get drunk at night, but let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and as a helmet of hope of salvation. So, sober, faith in Jesus, love for God, our brothers, sisters, helmet of salvation. How many people would like to go into a war? If you saw some guys going into, you know, Ukraine, you see Ukraine and Russia and everybody, what does everybody have? A helmet. If you saw somebody going into one of those battles and they don't have a helmet, what is that guy doing? If you don't have faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're about to be in a war that you didn't sign up for and you don't have a helmet on. And this war is starting. It's already starting. We're seeing it in various ways. We got to have our faith in Jesus. We got our helmet on. We're going to be okay. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God did not appoint us to wrath. And the tribulation wrath starts as soon as God opens the seals of the scroll in Revelation 6. There's going to be a 7-year tribulation period that's going to be preceded by some years after the rapture. And the tribulation wrath starts as soon as God opens the seals of the scroll in Revelation 6. It is Jesus who is opening the seals on a scroll. And as soon as he does, the four horsemen of the apocalypse are loosed on the earth and a fourth of the world's population dies as a result of war, which we're on the very precipice of. People are not Christians. People that are experts in military technologies and everything else are saying we've never been so close to nuclear war since World War II when we dropped a bomb. We haven't been so close with what's going on over in Ukraine. But we're not appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation. God isn't going to send his wrath. We're the bride of Christ. He's not going to beat his wife. He's not going to put his wrath on us. But we're appointed to salvation, and through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, whether we die or we don't die, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other with these words. So I want the rest of the study to be comforting to you. It's only comforting if you have faith in Jesus as your Savior. It is not comforting if you're going to be left behind. It's not going to be comforting to go through the tribulation period. It's not going to be comforting even for us for the time. The lead up to the global government has already started to be an extremely troublesome time to live. Talk to all these mutilated children. Talk to, you know, and the parents and people sending their kids off after raising them in the church, and they go off and they go woke because they go to the colleges and they get this agenda that's from the globalists. And you sit there and you go just ripping your heart out. There's an article that how increasingly parents, grandparents are never seeing their children or their grandchildren because they went off to college and now they hate their parents because their parents are God-fearing instead of doing the agenda. And so families are being split up and ruined, destroyed. I have friends that's the case. That their kids will not even talk to them anymore. So let's go to Daniel chapter 7 verse 23. This is being set up before our eyes. Daniel said it would happen. Daniel 7:23. This is a vision that Daniel has about four attempts at global government from the time that he's living until the future. And it's turned into beasts. You know, the global government attempts are called beasts. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all the other kingdoms that were before it, all the different other attempts at local global government pertaining to how it affected Israel. Because this one, the fourth one, shall devour the whole earth and trample it and break it in pieces. So this is why the fence is not just around a city, a state, a country. This is the whole world. The fourth attempt is going to be the entire world. And then the ten horns are ten kings who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall rise after them. He shall be different from the first ones, and he shall subdue three kings. So the final global government is going to be ruled by ten kings. So it's going to be, instead of the United States with 50 states, states in the country, it's going to be the whole world with 10 states. And it's going to be the North American Union. You ever wondered why our borders can't get secured? Because they don't want them secured. It's because we're going to be Canada, formerly America, Central America, all one, the North American Union, African Union, Southeast Asia Union, Pacific Union. I've already seen the map on it. I got it from the EU website. The world's being set up to be turned into 10 zones. And they're going to have 10 kings. And one of the king, then from those 10 kings, one guy is going to rise up. He's going to be the Antichrist. And he's going to be different from the first ones, verse 24, and he shall subdue three kings. So in the formation of the global government, there's going to be massive warfare. Fourth of the world's population dies the way I understand it. People differ on that. But I think what's going to lead to global government is this coming global nuclear exchange. And then they're going to form ten nation leaders. And then somebody's going to come and he's going to take three of those guys out, continuing conflict. And then he's going to be the head and he's going to be the Antichrist. And so, you know, people will say that getting the vaccine was the mark of the beast. And I want to emphasize, the beast is not here yet. We don't know who he is. You can't have a mark of the beast till you have the beast. And the Bible's telling us right here, he comes when the 10-nation global empire forms. He's not one of those guys. From right here, we know he's going to come up after that's formed, for however long that's formed. He comes up and he deals with three of those leaders somehow. And then he becomes the head and he becomes the bad guy. Verse 25, he shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time. So first 3.5 years, he's consolidating his power, bringing the world this supposed global utopia of peace. Then 3.5 years into the 7-year tribulation period, he betrays the Jews, stops them from worshiping at the temple. He sets up the abomination of desolation. And if you're new to the Bible, I am totally losing you here, and I know that. But I got to just teach to those that do know. He sets that all up, and then he is given power according to Daniel. He's given power to completely eliminate all God-fearing people for that last 3.5 years. And in fact, people that believe in a post-tribulation rapture, they have to look at this section of Daniel. They have to look at Daniel chapter 12. They have to look at Revelation and realize that there's nobody to rapture at the end. They're all dead. So in other words, if you miss believing in Jesus now, and you therefore miss the rapture, and you live into the tribulation period, if you avoid all the natural disasters that wipe out hundreds of millions of people that happen, and you're there till the end, there is no way that you are not going to be killed if you're a believer in Jesus. You're going to suffer, which is okay. People have been dying forever. But I mean, if you want to be, why do you want to be living in a horrible time when you could just put your trust in Jesus and get him to take you on a train out of Auschwitz? You know, get you off of Auschwitz. I don't want to go to Auschwitz. I don't want to have to deal with that. And God's promised us that we don't have to, because God is going to let the people who refuse to take the mark of the beast and to worship the image of the beast, they will be killed 100%. So there's nobody to rapture at the second coming. And so post-trib rapture is totally unbiblical. And for those that are mid-tribbers, there's nobody to persecute. So if it says right here in Daniel that 3.5 years into the tribulation period, he's going to go make war against the saints. Well, if they all just got raptured, how does he do that? So simple one-liners. It can't be mid-trib because there's nobody to persecute. because they're all taken up. It can't be post-trib because there's nobody to rapture because they're all dead. And so it's pre-trib for that and many other reasons. So, Daniel 7:26, aren't we glad that the Antichrist doesn't win? He starts slaughtering people to the point where Jesus says, had he not shortened the time of his coming back to earth, there would be nobody left on earth. But the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints. We're going to go be with Jesus in the kingdom forever of the Most High. This kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. This is the end of the account. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly troubled me, and my countenance changed. 2,500 years ago, close to 2,600 years ago. And it troubled him. He was being shown the last days. He was being shown our time. And when you have eyes open on what's going on around us, it can be troubling. But if you're hidden in Christ, if you are a believer in Jesus and you bow the knee and you say, God, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I want to confess my sins to you, that I'm not a good person. I don't deserve to go to heaven. I've messed it up. I want to be changed by you, and I want to be given your forgiveness. Then you're a child of God, and this is going to be your future. You're going to be with God forever and ever and ever, and he's going to put an end to the kingdoms of man. So now the rest of this, we're going to only do on Rumble. So for those that are listening, we'll go off on YouTube, unless we decide to keep it up on YouTube. It's been a while since they've given us a hit. And so, so we might just take a hit. They'll take it down. But now I'm going to get into stuff that, as a sign of the coming global government, they censor what we're allowed to tell each other. You know, so much for the First Amendment being able to say what we want to say. We came this close to being permanently kicked off of YouTube a while ago, but some time's passed, so we have an extra token, an extra get out of jail free card. But we have a Rumble icon on the homepage right next to the YouTube icon, and Rumble's not censoring people. So I wanted to show you this timeline, and we got to switch to number 3, I guess. We got it? Hopefully this is not going to require a reboot. There we are. And you should all have this as well. Now, what I want to emphasize here, this is the from creation to the end where Jesus returns timeline. And notice the very first part, no tribulation. Wouldn't that be great? Yeah? No tribulation. What happened in that extremely short period of time? Man hadn't sinned yet. It was a perfect utopia of man living with God. Then what happened? Adam and Eve sinned, and they brought to the world, ever since, tribulation. And Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So we aren't, you know, we don't believe as pre-trib rapture Christians that we're not going to be in tribulation. It's just little t tribulation, as you see there. But when we're gone, which is the rapture, which is we are here just before the rapture of the church, then the world is going to be thrown into capital T tribulation. And then as soon as the 7 years start, which is a certain time after that, it's going to be capital tribulation bold. And then the Bible calls the last 3.5 years the great tribulation. And that's how the Bible lays this out. We could spend, you know, whole studies on this, on just this chart. We're not going to. But I want to emphasize by looking at this. So we're right here, but I want to emphasize this is what's about to start. The restrainer is removed. You know, the Bible, 2 Thessalonians 2, says the restrainer is removed. The restrainer to a lot of people, pre-tribbers especially, we believe is the Holy Spirit living inside you, the church. We're restraining. And you know why? Just doing this study. And other God-fearing people that are blowing the whistle on what the globalists are trying to do. We're restraining. They will say, man, these people, we have to censor them. We have to cut them off. We can't let them be on Facebook. We can't let them do all these things. They're messing with our plan to deceive the people. Well, we're restraining, and God's going to take the restrainers away. And when that happens, then the world is going to quickly go towards the formation of global government. And so there's going to be wars, famines, death, global government forming, rise of the global leader, the Antichrist. You have to have this Antichrist leader to be able to start the tribulation, which is when that leader confirms a covenant with many for a 7-year period of time. So he's in power over the whole world, and he makes a covenant that allows the Jews to worship in their temple, and it's a 7-year covenant. And then 3.5 years in, this is at, you know, where we have seal 5 is in the center, but the seal 5 is actually taken the whole 7 years. But if you take this center line at 3.5 years, you go down, the Antichrist commits the abomination of desolation. He goes into the temple, declares himself to be God, forces everybody on the planet to worship him, forces everybody on the planet to take his name in their hand or their forehead. And if you don't do it, you're not allowed to buy or sell in the whole planet. And that was written in Revelation chapter 13, almost 2,000 years ago, 1,900 years ago, closer, at a time that was ridiculous, that somebody would be able to control the buying and selling of everybody on the planet. And it's getting very close to being able to do so. And so this is when the Antichrist is going to create the mark of the beast. And the reason I want to emphasize this, even though this is 3.5+ years away from the rapture, is because we're seeing the technology to let that mark of the beast be implemented. To where if you don't do something the elites want you to do, they can keep you from having a bank account. They can keep you from being able to go to the store. How close, we came so stinking close during COVID. For in this county, not being able to go to any store, and I was in the Zoom meetings with the county commissioners, with the mayors of the different cities, and the health board, as the health board was begging and pleading the elites of our local government to just implement the vaccine passport for this county, where no business would be allowed to be open to people who didn't get jabbed and have a passport. And so then what would happen, somebody has a conviction, I don't feel like putting that stuff in my body. And then you can't buy and sell because you can't go into the businesses. And that's almost implemented. What kept it from happening? Restrainers. People that knew what it was. People that were going into those Zoom meetings and say, you cannot do this, you will not do this. And the mayors said, no, we're not. We're going to let the feds do it because we don't want to lose our jobs locally in the voting. But there's going to be a day where the power is there for the Antichrist to say, now instead of a vaccine passport and a this and a that, and your carbon footprint is sufficient, and you vote right, and you let your kids be trannies if they want to, and all this other stuff, as long as you do all that, and you worship my image, and you take my name in your hand, then you can still buy and sell. And we're seeing that system, the capabilities of that system before our eyes. And if we're so close to the system being set up that the Antichrist could use 3.5 years plus away, and if we're going to be gone before the wars that set up the global government, do you realize how close we are? We're getting close because we're getting close to the time where these prophecies of 1900 years can be fulfilled for the first time in the history of the world. And most of that time, people were thinking impossible that it would ever happen. So then I'm going to go to this screen. And just, we could go on for days, actually. And with Jane's help, I just, put together these. Did you know that right now, from November 15th to February 7th, the Federal Reserve of the United States, along with the major globalist bankers, are doing a trial run, they're doing a beta test of the digital currency for this country? And it's going to go from November 15th to February 7th. Right now, behind the scenes, they told us they're doing it, but we don't know exactly what they're doing. What they're doing is they're preparing for the day they pull the plug on all of our cash, all of our regular buying and selling, and they're going to create, first in this country apparently, and then other countries, and then they'll unify it under one global central bank digital currency. But to just, when the economy collapses, they'll just say, okay, here's our United States Federal Reserve Central Bank digital currency that will give you this much. Well, I had more than that in my accounts. Well, so what? You'll have this much. And actually, we'll fill it up with your universal basic income on a weekly, monthly basis, provided you do this and this and this. And if you don't do this and this and this, then you don't get it. So they're doing a trial run right now. And then you have, how many of you followed the SBF, Sam Bankman-Fried, and the FTX? How many people lost? No, I won't. You know, big name people lost millions of dollars. $32 billion digital currency company was $32 billion one day, bankrupt the next day. People lost millions and millions of dollars. And what they're finding out is this guy that set it up, who had access to the White House and was going in and out of the White House, by the way, he just made a back door that had $2 billion transferred that were completely unaccounted for. And some investigators are speculating, because of what they know, is that some of that money went to Ukraine, laundered there, came back for the Democratic cause prior to the election. Did you notice that this whole thing came down right after the election? So unaccounted for money, billions of dollars. So everybody, and here's what's happening, not just with FTX. What we're going to find out by this next article, every bank, every stock you buy, is actually a donation to the globalists to accomplish their causes in the world. And they're just taking that money, that, you know, all those people that lost those millions, thank you, if it's true. Thank you. We need to get some people that were in, close, tight races with the people that they were going against on the conservative side. We need a little bit money, more money for them. We need money for this. We need money for that. We took it. Sorry. You lost everything. They don't care. You know, people that want to kill us all with COVID, made in the lab and released and all the other stuff. Do you realize we're living in a time of such incredible evil? That we cannot even comprehend the evil that is coming upon this world, and they don't care. What made America people care about each other before? That still lingering conviction of things like love your neighbor as yourself, that you're going to answer to God, Ten Commandments, don't steal from people, all that stuff that was archaic, taken out of the school system, turned into instead, you don't know if you're a boy, you don't know if you're a girl, so just do what you want to do. And all this stuff. We exchanged the knowledge of God for the deceptions of Satan himself being perpetrated and forced upon the population of the country. And so then the one I want to really concentrate is an article, ESG. How many of you have heard of ESG before? Okay. The merger of state and corporate power. Corporations and government form alliance for environmental social activism. November 13, 2022, from the Epoch Times. So I said Epoch Times. Somebody corrected me, said it's Epoch Times. A true newspaper, by the way. I mean, it's probably the only real news left in America, for all I know. And it says in 2022, in the midst of a recession, record inflation, tumbling stock market, a corporate ideology known by the acronym ESG emerged from obscurity to become headline topic. What is the headline topic about? It's been called everything from a risk management tool for a cleaner, more just world to a con, a fraud, and even in Elon Musk's tweet, the devil incarnate. So Elon Musk said that this ESG globalist agenda is the devil incarnate. Do you know that he's the first guy that's lost $200 billion in a year? That was an article. He lost $200 billion. Maybe because he's saying stuff like this, as we're going to find out in the rest of this article. So the term itself stands for environmental social governance. And so there's a environmental contingent, a social contingent, and a government contingent that is run by the United Nations with the all-powerful World Economic Forum to create change in the entire world. And, of course, the environmental part is the whole climate change propaganda. And the social component includes racial, gender equality, diversity, training for employees, economic equality, and gun control. You know why they need gun control? For the same reason the Nazis wished that there hadn't been a Polish uprising. Because what happened in the Polish uprising, the Jews inside the ghetto were saying, no, we don't want to take them on. They'll be mad at us. They're killing us. We need guns. So they smuggled some guns in. And then the Germans had a real problem on their hands. They had a Polish uprising by the Jews. Started shooting the Germans and taking their guns and shooting more Germans. And then it became a major, major problem. And so the world's learned from that. You can't have guns in the hands of the people that aren't going to be excited about you bringing them their utopia. And gender confusion, what is that? Why do you think the gender confusion is such a huge deal? The LGBT is such a huge deal. Because the globalists, under the inspiration of Satan, they hate human beings on planet Earth. We are a curse to Mother Gaia. We are polluting Mommy Earth. And we need to be eliminated. There needs to be an extermination of a large portion of the population. This is what globalists believe. This is what population geneticists believe. We have to be exterminated. And a large section. And that explains, when you realize the evil that's behind this, you can understand why would there be all these weapons labs, bioweapons labs, all over the world, playing with biological stuff to make it gain a function like what happened with COVID. Why would there be people that would put a new vaccine with new technology that they knew was killing animals in the labs that they tried it on them and give it and force it upon everybody in the world, knowing that it was causing miscarriages in the trial group in this country? Pfizer's trial group had most of the women miscarrying their babies if they got it while they're pregnant and still forcing it upon them. Why would they do that unless there is an evil that we can't comprehend that's going on? And they don't care because it's, we have to do that because the utopia is going to have to be a lot less people. And so they're just collateral damage. And that's the way they think. And the governance component is focused on how companies are run and includes racial and gender quotas for corporate boards, management, and staff. And in the case of Exxon, putting green energy advocates on the board. I want a green energy advocate on an oil company. Now, you might think, oh, that's so stupid. I mean, everybody knows we need oil. I heard a guy on the radio that was advocating for, we have to really think about what this means when we say we're not going to pump oil anymore. Do you realize that our roads are this percentage of the barrel of oil that comes out of the ground? I think it's 19%. I could be wrong on that. The rest of it's for gasoline and all this stuff, but you can't even make roads unless you get that. And we're not going to be pumping that because we're not going to make gasoline because we're going to be, getting rid of a huge number of the population. And so we're going to have to deal with this. What does it mean to say we have to deal with the consequences of what we're going to make happen? A lot less people. That you don't need roads. The ESG movement, the origin of ESG ideology, the ESG movement is a derivative of the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. The United Nations has decided how many people can be on the planet to have sustainable development. You can develop this much, and then to keep mommy from hurting, mommy Earth, Gaia, worship. And what did Jesus say in Romans chapter 1 through the Apostle Paul? Because people turn away from the worship of God, what do? They worship the creation. They go into idolatry. They worship the god Gaia. Satan is behind earth worship. And are we supposed to take care of the planet? Yes. Should we be wise about that? Yes. But what's going on in the demonic world is the elimination of God's people who he created. So there are 17 sustainable development goals in the United Nations, which ESG implements SDGs. Ranging in no poverty, we're going to eliminate poverty, zero hunger, good health, responsible consumption and production, and peaceful and inclusive societies for sustainable development. And, without who? Let's accomplish all this without who? Without God. How are we going to do all of this without an all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present God by acting like we're God. We're going to be God. We're going to decide who lives, who dies, who gets to have what, who gets to travel, who doesn't get to travel. You know, they're coming out with 15-minute cities. Have you heard of that? 15-minute cities is part of the SDGs. They're going to build, you know, whatever factory or somebody puts something together, some kind of work that a group has to do. And so they have that. They have hotels. They have Costco. They have whatever right there within 15 minutes. And then you are going to be a slave to that neighborhood. You will not be allowed to leave for the sustainable goals of the planet, because that means if you're leaving, you're using some kind of carbon footprint to get there. And so you're allowed, what they're saying right now is you'll 100 days a year, you'll be able to do that. So if you live more than 15 miles away from your parents, your children move to, you know, to a different sustainable development, you don't get to move or travel. They're going to lock down the world in a Warsaw ghetto of 15-minute cities and everything else. And if you buck the system, you're going to be turned off digitally. So peace and safety, you know, that's what they're saying. We're going to bring peace and safety without God. And God says, when they say that, beware. In 2019, the World Economic Forum, an annual gathering of the world's most powerful political and corporate leaders in Davos, Switzerland, signed a strategic partnership with the UN to advance the SDGs throughout the corporate sector, led by founder and chairman Klaus Schwab. You know, he's a very evil guy. And World Economic Forum issued the Davos Manifesto 2020. It's called the Fourth Industrial Revolution. The manifesto declared that a company is more than an economic unit generating wealth. It fulfills human and societal aspirations, as they decide, as part of the broader social system. During the annual meeting, Schwab told the gathered corporate executives and world leaders, let's be clear, the future is not just happening. The future is built by us, by a powerful community here in this room. We have the means to improve the status of the world. So right now, you and I have been living in a world that just the future just comes. You know, whatever you do, you have your families, you have your freedom, you do everything else, and they say, no, 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 that's over. We are creating the future by what they decide the future should be. Speaking at the COP27 conference, former Vice President Al Gore concurred, saying, we need $4.5 trillion per year to make this transition, and that can only come by unlocking access to your money. We're gonna take the people's money, and we're going to then control it in a way that we can force it upon all the corporations of the world to make this happen. And we're running out of time, so I'll just tell you quickly how, and read the rest of this, but this is what they're doing, and this was so eye-opening to me when I read this article. It used to be, in the beginning of the stock market days, Wall Street, you know, somebody works at GM, my company's good, makes a good car, I'm going to invest in GM, and that's going to be my future. And, you know, they were personally involved in the buying and selling of their stock, and there wasn't a bunch of shenanigans going on in the stock market. But then, you know, then you have, oh, I just want my retirement fund to be handled by money managers. I just give my money to them, they're money managers, and they invest in bonds and stocks because they're smart and I'm not. It's too hard to figure it all out. Well, then those money managers got taken over by extremely powerful people that consolidated all. You know, you have these companies that are BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street control $55 trillion. So in other words, they control stocks in all these corporations that they need to get on board to change the world. So let's say Exxon says, you know, Exxon gets told, you know, the future is going to be we're not going to drill any oil. Well, we're an oil company, and our stockholders want us to drill oil because that's how they get their dividends on their stocks. You don't understand. We are the stockholders of Exxon. And we don't really care about you drilling oil. We don't even care about you making money. We care about the future. And so you are going to decide that you're going to contribute to putting a guy on charge that is an anti-oil guy to run your corporation. And if you don't, well, Wall Street opens tomorrow, and we'll see what happens when we dump all your stock. And what will that do to your stockholders? So we have global extortion with trillions of your dollars being used to control everybody. Why does Costco jump on board with everything with COVID? Why do these other corporations all, when they knew it was affecting their bottom line? Because they were being extorted and visited by these people that controlled this, and this is all in this article if you read the whole thing. This is the most major eye-opening thing for me. That this is, we don't have any freedom anymore. And just now, you can read the whole article, it'll be on the website, there's 35 of the whole article out there where we keep it. So going back to this screen, multiple digital currency initiatives. There's all these blockchains that were supposed to be private and keep the government from controlling everything. Well, what's going to happen to all those digital currencies when the Federal Reserve, in their 3-month trial, they go, it's all ready to go for the United States Federal Reserve Bitcoin, equivalent to Bitcoin, and now this is all that's allowed in America, because you know that FTX, all those people lost their money because they weren't controlled by the government. Well, now we're going to make the perfect digital currency, and what's going to happen to everything everybody's invested in? Gone. It's going to be forced upon the country. Metaverse surveillance networks, where, you know, one of the things on that 15-minute cities, well, I'll sneak out. I'll just go and visit my grandma anyway, and they won't know. Well, you better not take your phone, because they're tracking your phone and exactly where you are, and they'll know where you are. Well, I'll leave my phone at home. Well, they've got cameras that are taking your license plates at every intersection and going over bridges and stuff. Not going to be able to do that. You have going into every store, you have a camera that's digitally recognizing who you are. I don't know for sure, but I have a tab, and the camera's on this side because I like to look at it sideways. And it's actually one ear's tab, but I'm using it. And so a couple weeks ago, I'm using it. It goes, turn your tab this way, because I'm left-handed. So when I'm hitting the thing, my arm is keeping it from seeing my face, the camera. I don't know. Why else would they say to flip it up? Never had happened before. Hasn't happened since. We want to see who's really looking, who's really on this tab. Have you noticed you can't get a computer without attaching your name to that computer? You can't go anywhere to use any library computer, buy a computer, use a computer without it being attached to you. Because they want to know what you are doing. And when the fence is done, when the fence is all done and they go, okay, some of you have good social credit scores, some of you do not. Some of you are going to be in the system and some are not. Yuval Noah Harari said, the technical revolution is going to be something that's not going to be for everybody. There's going to be people that will not fit in. If they are not fitting into the technical revolution, they will die. That's what he said. They're making it happen through this metaverse surveillance. Intelligence agencies embedded in social media censorship. You know, the dump. How many of you are aware of the Twitter dump files? You know, Elon Musk got in there, and he's finding out that our FBI, with our tax dollars as an intelligence agency, is telling Twitter to shadow ban, and they would say, oh no, we didn't tell them to shadow ban. We just said, you know, we think these people right here are violating some of your requirements. And here's some millions of dollars, your money. Here's some millions of dollars, Twitter employees, to make sure, well, we're not going to tell you to, because that would be illegal. And so we're just going to tell you, wouldn't you really like to do that? So they banned all these people. Then they get up in front of Congress, and they say, you're shadow banning people. No, we're not. We are not shadow banning. You know what? They changed the terminology. Visibility shielding. They didn't shadow ban them. If you would have asked us if we used visibility shielding, well, then we would have had to confess. But we don't call it shadow banning. So they lie and they get away. Did anybody go to jail for any of that? The FBI should have all been fired for the Hunter laptop, all this other stuff that they were doing. Censoring And you know, some people think, now, some people think Musk is a savior. Who's a savior? Jesus, okay. Is he even a God-fearing man? Not at all. He even recently was asked, aren't you concerned about whether you go to heaven or hell? And he goes, no, if I'm going to hell, that's where most people are anyway. Okay, so he's not working for Jesus. He's major pushing the transhumanism that's going on, and which is from the pits of hell. And we don't have time to talk about. And so I'm sitting there thinking, maybe he got in here. He's demonstrating to everybody that wants to be like him to buck the system. You buck the system, you lose $200 billion. He could be in on the plan to also say, look at all this evidence of the corruption in our intelligence agencies embedded in all the social networking. And then everybody in the globalist agenda is looking around going, nobody really cares. We're there. It's almost like, hey, everybody's wearing a mask, even though they're useless. And so we got them. They listen to us, even when we tell them foolishness. And so now we got them all. This whole thing, and I'm just saying, we're getting so messed up that it's impossible to know the truth except for this is the truth. And we have one Savior, it's Jesus. It's not Trump coming back. It's not a red wave. It's nothing. They are far enough along their plan. The fence is almost done.
They don't have a roof on it, though.
Huh? That's a good point. They don't have a roof, and we're going up. And even if they tried to put a roof, Jesus would take care of that, too. We could go through the rest of this. We could go through the rest of these other signs. We could go through these news articles. And this is what I want to get to because we're out of time. This really helps us to unlock really the timing of some of these things that, you know, Christians debate about the timeline of the second coming and the issues leading up to it. And that is that God always leaves a witness in the world. And what has been the main witness of the God of creation in the world since creation? The creation. He says that in Romans chapter 1. Everybody is without excuse. They can look outside and they can realize there is a creator. And if they don't humble themselves and say, I'm going to answer that creator. I don't get to make an idol and bow down and worship that, making me God. I'm going to worship the God who created. They're without excuse because everybody should do that. Then God made Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, I'm going to use you Jews to be a witness. And then we had the witness of Jesus and the apostles that came 2,000 years ago. And as God told the Jews through the book of Romans, I'm going to set you off to the side. Romans 9, 10, 11. I'm setting you Jews off. You're going to be off on the side. You're not fired. You're just benched. And I'm going to use the church. We're in this area. We're in this era. So my little cursor here again. We're here. Church, Gentiles grafted in chapters 9 through 11. And then the rapture happens. And we also have the witness of the Word of God from the days of Moses. I forgot to mention that. So, but the church is going to go away. The Jews are going to be grafted back in and all this other stuff is going to be happening. And so we're in the final minutes, in a way, of the church age. And he's leaving us here as a witness to help people get out of the coming ghetto. We're here to say there's only one escape plan. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is everything else is a lie. You're being lied to by your government. You're being lied to by your intelligence agencies. You're being lied to by all the media, which is corporately controlled by the trillions of dollars of your tax money being invested into Wall Street that is then extorting. You're never going to get a real news story again because they're all under the thumb of the World Economic Forum and the ESGs. And they're lying. Everybody's lying. Jesus tells us the truth. Before we come to Jesus, we're on a one-way trip to hell. That starts the day we die. And if we want to get off that, we can say, repent of that and turn away from it. And I want to embrace Jesus. Forgive me, God, for thinking that I was in control of my life. I want you to be in control of my life. I want you to forgive me. And I want to serve you and worship you the best I can, and help me until the day that you come back. And if we don't do that, we're stuck in the ghetto. And so that's, and then I was going to close. Let's turn as a closing section of scripture to Revelation 3:7, and we'll close with this. Revelation 3:7. Because Revelation 3:7 is dealing with the Church of Philadelphia, the Church of Brotherly Love. And although John the Apostle was being told to write to a church that existed in his day, Bible scholars believe that it's also talking to a type of church in the last days that fits this. And the angel of the Church of Philadelphia, to the angel of the Church of Philadelphia, write, "These things says he who is holy, he who is true." Who's that? Jesus. "He who has the key of David. He who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I have the keys of the promises of the Davidic kingdom to open up heaven to anybody I want to and shut it to anybody I want to. And because the requirement is you have to believe in him to have everlasting life. I know your works, your church. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door. You guys get to be saved. I am opening the door to let you get into heaven because you're a true church. And no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name." What let them be a true church? The recognition that in the last days, is the church really strong and a happening thing, the true church that's preaching Jesus today? No. It was pretty strong when I first got saved. But it's weak. And he's saying, you have a little strength. You're not the happening thing. Everybody, the happening thing, or all the Joel Olsteins and stuff that are around the world, they're the happening thing. But they don't talk about Jesus. They've denied my name. They deny my word. But if you just keep my word, because you have little strength and have kept my word as important, and have not denied my name, Jesus' name, which means God is alone is Savior, indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, Christians and are not, indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you, probably on Judgment Day, when they're going to sit there and go, wow, we should have listened. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. You know, that's important to me. Kept my command to persevere. I know people that have grown up in the church, didn't persevere. A close friend of mine used to go here. His son was really into the Bible studies for a while, went off to college. Found out how Christians are a bunch of lamos. His parents are lame. And he's now telling his dad, you know, it's just totally, you know, you're not woken up and this and that and everything else. And then one of his classmates was a guy that was going to one of his friends was a Maasai person that goes to Wheaton College. And he got downgraded on his paper because he refused to use the right pronouns at a Christian Wheaton College. And so let's not stop persevering in the truth. Hold on to the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. This is the truth. I am a man. I am not gender confused. My children are men and women. You know, they're children that are going to grow up to be men and women. And let the world hate us. Let the government corporations come and say, you're going to shut you down unless you go along with this. Well, we're going to kick you off of Facebook, Rumble, anything else that you're on, you know, YouTube, whatever. I don't care. I'm going to persevere because that's what Jesus tells me to do to be able to get through the roof. I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the world and test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have that no one may take your crown. Hold on tightly. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God. I want that. The name of my city. I want a passport to heaven. I want that name. Of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Change my heart, O God, is the closing worship song today. How many people would like to have all that? All that is a promise for you. It can only be through faith in Jesus. You're not going to want to live in the darkness. You're not going to want to live in the lie of the world. This is coming true. How do we know this is the truth? Because 1900 years ago, the Bible told us this is what it would be like. And it's here. And it's only possible because of data, computing power, biological knowledge. It's only because of the recent satanically inspired and used technologies to enslave us. We use them for good too, but man, just watching how this all came up together is just mind-boggling. We're going to worship him till he comes. Father, I thank you for this time and your word. And as we do on the first day of this year, look with some trepidation in a way, Lord, of what lies ahead as we see the way the tentacles of the enemy are starting to surround and take charge. But God, we know that as you said, put your treasures on heaven where moth and rust don't corrupt and thieves don't break in and steal. And we just pray that you'd help us to double down on that, especially as we see the day approaching. We just thank you, Lord. And I pray for any soul here that is not yet a believer in you, not trusting you, that you would convict them, Lord, of the need to get right with you while there's time. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship God.
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you.
That's a prayer of everybody the first day they came to Jesus. You know, and it lasts until we're gone out of these bodies, that we want our hearts to be changed, continuously changed, until we get to see God face to face in a new body that's fit for heaven. God bless you. If anybody wants to get right with Jesus and you don't know how, you don't know what prayer, then please come up and talk to me.